Christians will suffer tribulation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Go to Revelation 6, but while you're here, it says obtain salvation. You'd say, well, I thought we were already saved. There are different definitions depending upon the context of salvation. Salvation isn't always just the soul's salvation. In fact, the majority of times if you find salvation in the Bible, it doesn't deal with your soul. It deals with physical salvation or deliverance. And you need to know from the context which one is dealing with. Remember, the Bible says that our salvation is nearer than when we believed. Well, if that's true, it can't be your soul's salvation because your soul's already saved. Our salvation, our deliverance is nearer than when we believe because every day you live nearer to the day that you're going to experience that time when you will be with the Lord. Revelation 6. Look at verse 17. "For the great day of His wrath is come." Remember the other verse said, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath. And who shall be able to stand?" Some teachers look at these two verses and I believe it's caused the church to disengage from the world and accept that, you know, the changes taking place are inevitable. In other words, you look at what the Supreme Court decided this week, that sex in 1963 in the decision for, you know, not being able to discriminate meant the LGBTQ X, Y, and Z group is covered by that word. It means sexual orientation in 1963, or else they'll just redefine it. Listen, it's a conservative court. Five Catholics on the Supreme Court, so I don't know how conservative that really is. But there's five Catholics on that Supreme Court, and yet they have now gotten same-sex marriage. Now, the law of the land is that you cannot discriminate if somebody comes into a business, they want a job, and you say, look, you know, we don't hire like that. Now, it's going to affect the church. It won't affect this church so much. Amen. Because it's just not going to happen. We're not going to discriminate. In fact, if somebody comes in, I'm just going to preach. And as I preach, if they can handle the heat of the Bible, then we'll let them handle the heat for as long as they want to handle the heat. We're not going to be mean to them. We're going to show them the love of Christ. That's what we're going to do. But we're not going to compromise. I will not have an assistant that has a lot of initials that didn't come from degrees in a college. Not that that's important either. I'm just saying if it starts with an L and ends with a Q, we're probably not going to let them be hired on. Not that we're discriminating. They've just disqualified themselves according to our bylaws and Constitution. Now, I dealt with two verses. Preaching and believing. Well, let me rephrase what I said already first. Many people have disengaged because they believe Jesus is coming back. He is coming back, but it should not cause you to disengage. It has not caused me to pray any less for our leadership. It has not caused me to get involved any less in society. I'm not saying, hey, let the whole world go to hell. We're going to have our little pocket of church here and that's it. No, it ain't going to happen that way. We can't do that. We can't let that happen. Preaching and believing the pre-tribulation rapture of the church is not an escapist doctrine. Preached by those who want to avoid the worst time of suffering and destruction that man will ever experience on earth. All astute Bible students have always taught that the time of Daniel's 70th week, they call it the tribulation, refers to Jacob or Jacob's trouble. And never the church. The church never replaced Israel as some replacement theology proponents teach. Believers have always suffered at the hands of the government, at the hands of religion, and at the hands of the world. And always will. We are not going to escape the problems that are going to come upon us. Every day that we are here, it's going to get worse and worse. Am I a little bit loud? No? Okay. It's going to get worse. I said that, and I took a lot of abuse for that when I said it in a debate. I was concluding the debate, and I said, let me tell you something. We are going to suffer tribulation. And, you know, there were people looking like, what do you mean? Well, we're going to look at the verses that talk about Christians suffering tribulation. You'll see what I mean. The point is, the rapture has nothing to do with escaping tribulation, but everything to do with missing Daniel's 70th week. Christians will and have always suffered tribulation, but the tribulation, what they call the tribulation, I don't call it the tribulation period. Because Matthew 24 says after the tribulation of those days. It talks about great tribulation, but never the great tribulation. That's what you need to understand. Listen, they're misnomers. People, if they would use their terminology right, there wouldn't be so much confusion in the subject of eschatology, which is future things. We are in the future things that I've been preaching about for 30 years. We're there. We look. You open up the paper, if you ever get one. You know, I know it's sort of outdated. When you look at the internet or listen to your radio or watch your TV, we're in those days right now that people have been preaching about for a long time. It's coming. We're not going to escape it all because we haven't escaped it yet. Here's what is the crux of the issue. Daniel's 70th week, what they call the tribulation, deals with mostly Israel and her reconciliation. Christians are already reconciled and in no need of future reconciliation. We're already reconciled in Christ Jesus. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says. But Israel's not reconciled as a nation yet. Furthermore, we are Christ's ambassadors, and He's going to call His ambassadors home long before He declares war on this earth. It's inappropriate for prophecy teachers to focus on the removal of the bride, they say, at the rapture, as a means of escaping tribulation. God's people, God's body has always, will always go through tribulation. The rapture is a matter of principle with God, and since the church does not replace Israel, we don't need to be looking for the abomination of desolation, 144,000, the two witnesses, or the signing of the treaty in Jerusalem, or anything like that. You need to be looking for one thing, and that's Jesus Christ. That's it. Looking for that blessed hope. You need to be watching, waiting, and working. And the more we watch, the better we're going to be. The more we wait on Him, the better we're going to be, because we won't get impatient and think, well, you know, it's just got to happen in 1988 because somebody wrote a book on it. 88 reasons why Jesus was coming back in 1988. He was written by Wisenot. Imagine having a name like that, writing a book like that, and being so dumb. Not a whole lot of wisdom there. We need to be looking up for Jesus and busy doing His work in the meantime. The church suffering tribulation. They go hand in hand. The word tribulation is found 26 times in 25 verses in your Bible, with 21 of the occurrences in the New Testament. A good Bible student knows the importance of distinguishing between the period of time that people refer to as the tribulation and great tribulation, and a Christian who suffers through some form of tribulation. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. Let me show you what I mean by correct terminology. Matthew 24 is one of the verses that is so... There's not a rapture in this section of Scripture here. Those that are, in fact, I just talked to a man the other day for 2 hours about this, and he said he was post-trib or mid-trib. That means the rapture is going to happen in the middle or after the tribulation. We're pre-trib. We believe it's going to happen before what we call the tribulation. He said, well, right there is what gets me. And I said, well, there's no rapture there. Those that are taken in death because the examples are Noah and Lot. Who was taken off the earth in Noah's day? Well, Noah. Who was taken? The people taken in death. Noah's still on the earth afterwards, but he was protected the same way it'll happen in Matthew 24 when he sends his angels to gather the elect for protection. That's the difference. What about Lot? Where was Lot when the whole thing was over? He was still on earth. Who was taken? Those in Sodom were taken in death. That's the picture you have in Matthew 24, Luke 17, and elsewhere. It says, though there's one taken, there's one left. The one left will be the one that's protected by God. The one that's taken will be taken in death. Now, at the rapture, the ones that are taken are those that are saved. They're the church. That's us, if you're saved. As you look at this, let me show you what one of the problems is. I'm singular plural. Let me show you what one of the problems is. No, one and is. Okay, I was just working out my grammar while I was talking. Let's just jump into verse 31. Look at the peculiar wording. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together. I'm sorry, I'm supposed to be up higher. Look at verse 29. Immediately, here's what's misunderstood. Immediately after the tribulation period. Is that what it says? It says immediately after the tribulation of those days. What days? The days that are described before. In the first, 28 verses, it talks about tribulation in there. After the tribulation of those days. It doesn't say after a period of time, after the 7 years. It says after the tribulation of those days, what's he going to do? Shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. They're going to see Him coming back. When? After the tribulation of those days. When is that? That's Revelation 19. That is not the rapture of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There's no rapture here at all. It is the second coming of Jesus Christ right here. So if you make that the rapture, this is what he's going to do. He's going to send his angels to gather the elect. Why? In Revelation 19, he's coming with a sword to destroy the nations. What's behind him? The armies. Where are they coming from? Revelation 19:11, they're coming from heaven. That's what it says. So what does he do? Verse 31. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Oh, there's the last trump. That isn't what it says. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds where he scattered them, according to Ezekiel 37:9, Joel 3:16, and on and on and on, Jeremiah 49:36, Daniel 8:8, Zechariah 2:2, and on and on and on. He scattered them to the four winds of the earth under heaven, which is the first heaven. That just means from one end of heaven to the other. That's all it means. It's not talking about the third heaven where God's abode is, where the church is. He says he's going to gather his elect on that earth. Why? Because he's going to destroy everybody else. He's coming back to destroy at that time, not to gather anybody to take them off the earth. You say, well, the Bible says he's going to gather them at the rapture. So every time gathers in the Bible, it deals with the rapture? No. Context determines meaning. So, what do you see here? After the tribulation of those days. There are guys that say, well, see, it says after the tribulation, all that's going to happen. That's not even true. It's after the tribulation of those days. That's important. Now, look at Revelation 7. Revelation 7. The reason that this is so important is because I have heard people say that because of the pre-tribulation rapture in World War II and the bombs started falling on Berlin and there were people looking for the rapture and the escape, that they turned on God because God didn't take them out before the tribulation came. What a smokescreen. If that's true, then all y'all got to quit on God because you're not getting out of here before we watch the world go to hell in a handbasket and America lead the way. What we do in America affects every other nation. What we did in Hollywood affected every other nation. We put that cesspool out there. We put that cesspool out there on the internet. Most pornography is created over there in the left coast. We destroyed the world. If you're looking to get escaped out of here, and that's not a great word, it just makes my point, before all of it goes bad, you may be in for a rude awakening. Men are going to wax worse and worse. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Verse 7, ever learning, never able to come into the knowledge of the truth. Tell me that's where we are. We're there. I'm telling you that your protection is the church. You know why we need to get together and we need to get together more and we need to be there for each other more? Because as we see the day approaching, there's going to be a lot of noise out there and a lot of bad things going on, a lot of influences there, and we have got to stay true to the Bible. I'm not here to compromise. I am not here to say, you know, whenever it gets, well, do this, put my finger up, whoa, which way is the wind blowing today? You ever see me do that, you need to go ahead and find yourself another church or find yourself another pastor and kick me square between the eyes or in the pants, seat of the pants or wherever I need it, because that's wrong. And there are more churches that are going to do that than you can imagine. Why? Well, if they believe in the escapist doctrine for one reason. But I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm not worried about whether this, you know, this serum they're going to give everybody or this shot they're going to give everybody or this vaccine they're going to give everybody is going to have the mark of the beast in it. I'm not going to be here for the mark of the beast. And if I was, I also know that God's going to supernaturally protect believers from deception during that time. That's what He says. So you want me to prepare you for the tribulation? Here, I'm going to prepare everybody for the Daniel 70th week. I'm going to prepare you. You ready? Here it goes. What do you need to do? Trust God. You're prepped. Oh, no. We don't have to go out and do shooting practice. I'm all for it. In case you get a couple extra days. You know, I'm okay with that. I'm okay if you want to stock up food. Just make sure you invite me before it goes bad. Listen, that's fine. But you have to understand, we're not looking to escape the problems by the rapture. So it's going to get bad. And that's a positive message. Look at me. I am not worried. If you're worried, it's because you are focused on yourself and not on God. Focus on the Savior. Look for Jesus. And every day when you get up and it gets worse, you just look for Jesus. You say, well, what if all these people go bad? What if all this, you know, what if all this trouble starts? You wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our problem isn't these people down here. Our problem is spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil, his minions. Get your focus off of people and you'll be all right. Now, I've prepared you for the tribulation. I've prepared you for the rapture. Let's go. I just want you to understand. There was a reason why God had me spend the thousands of hours studying these subjects. When I first started out, I couldn't prove the pre-tribulation rapture. Now there is not one verse in the Bible, not one verse, that gives me a hiccup on proving the pre-tribulation rapture. Not that I know it all. Still learning. There may be a verse tomorrow, but there's not one today. I'm just telling you. I go to the Bible and God says, well, you know, I just say to the Lord, I need to know the answer. And the Lord says, here you go, here you go. Stay faithful, stay true. And if you're wrong, fix it. If you were wrong in the past, admit it. So He's let me have a lot of light. Because I read everything. I read mostly what I disagreed with because I wanted to know where was my argument weak. And some of it challenged me. Some of it enabled me to evaluate why I taught what I taught and reevaluate it and change it or fix it or tweak it or whatever it was. Because all I wanted was to be right. And if God showed me that it was mid-trib, post-trib, you know, pre-wrath, I mean, there's 7 million different schisms out there, then I would have changed in a heartbeat, and I told Him that. I said, Lord, if I'm wrong, I want to know. If I'm wrong, I'll change. And you know what? I didn't have to change. I had to admit I was wrong in some other areas and some other things, you know, hyper-dispensational salvation, you know, by works and faith in the Old Testament or in the... I had to admit I was wrong on that. And thank God I did. But you know what? I didn't have to admit I was wrong on this because that's what the Bible teaches. Look at Revelation 7. I don't think I gave you the verse. Look at verse 14. Revelation 7:14, he says, and I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest, that is not what I want. I have no idea. Let me. Anyway, let me read it through. Oh, it is it. 7:14. I'm looking at the word tribulation. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest, and he said unto me, these are they which came out of what? Not the great tribulation. It's not a period of time. It's Daniel's 70th week. What kind of tribulation they come out of? What is great tribulation? Well, it's great. It's big. It's terrible. If it said terrible tribulation, would you call it the terrible tribulation period? Well, you would if you were doing the same error. All it says is they came out of a tribulation that was great. Why? Because Daniel's 70th week is going to be a tribulation that's great. But there's not the tribulation first 3.5 years and the great tribulation last 3.5. That is not a correct... Nowhere in the Bible that I studied was I able to find that designation. You need to know that. Because there are people that will use those verses. Now, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. This is crucial here. And again, there are people that will look at this and they'll say, you know what? This is talking about the tribulation period. No, it's talking about Daniel's 70th week, in the which there will be tribulation and there will be great tribulation. Deuteronomy chapter 4, look at verse 30. He says, when thou art in tribulation... Does it say in the tribulation period? No. Nowhere in the Bible is it called the tribulation. So, here's the problem. If you're escaping the tribulation period, people all will see, you're escapist. No, we're going to escape from Daniel's 70th week because that reconciliation is focused on Israel. Well, does that mean the Gentiles won't be involved? They absolutely will. But God's going to refocus on the nation of Israel. And that's why when Satan is cast out in the middle of the tribulation, he is going to persecute the woman. The woman is defined as the nation of Israel. Let's go on. Well, look at the rest of the verses. When thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto His voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. So he will not forget the covenant that he sware unto the fathers. I was going to stop there. I don't want to read the next verse. When thou art in tribulation, in what? In the latter days. Who? The nation of Israel. But again, it's not the tribulation period. It's a misnomer. And that's why there's so much confusion out there. The Apostle Paul refers to tribulation as a way of life for Christians. Anybody in here ever suffer persecution, suffer tribulation? Boy, if you've ever had a job and you said, I'm a Christian, I've gotten fired from a job for being a Christian. CPA firm. They did not, and you know, I went to another one later on and passed the whole CPA exam at one time, and I went back and I said, here, can you sign this to show that I worked here for a month? Actually, it was 3 weeks. I'd bring in my Bible every day in my briefcase, and I wouldn't go to lunch. I would just sit down and I'd study because I was in Bible college. Boy, they didn't like that. I left paperclip on the copy machine. Now, granted, it can destroy the whole world if that thing fell into the wrong slot. But I had no idea that it was the unforgivable sin. I was chewed out so bad, I had no gluteus maximus ever again in my life. I mean, right in front of the... He knew I left it on there. Who left this on there? And he's just going at me, and I'm like a deer in the headlights. I had never gotten chewed out like that. My dad didn't even chew me out like that. Well, once maybe. No, he didn't. My dad's 6'4". He doesn't need to do that. He just had to look at me a little cross-eyed, and I was like, okay. Hey, let's look at some verses. Look at Romans chapter 5. We're gonna run the references on tribulation. Romans 5. So, you know, here's the problem. They call it the tribulation period. It's not called the tribulation period. Here's what I mean. Romans 5:3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that what? Tribulation worketh patience, patience experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know what tribulation is? It's good. You know how many of you and I want it? None of us. We don't want what's good for us. Like taking, you know, a medicine that tastes bad, or having a surgery that you really don't want, or, you know, yeah, I'll be better on the other side, but man, you're going to put me out, you're going to put me to sleep. Man, I don't want that surgery. I don't want that medicine. That's tribulation. But tribulation worketh patience. You ever lose your patience? Because of tribulation? Yeah. So it works. Listen, I am the most impatient person you'll ever meet. But tribulation has worked my patience, and patience has given me the experience I need, and the experience has given me the hope, and that makes me a different person. Because of God. But how did it start? Tribulation. All the things I went through in life, that some of them, I didn't even think I was going to live. I thought, man, especially if it was something embarrassing. You can't hardly embarrass me now. Don't try. Please don't try. Ooh, that's like sick'em. It's like me reeling in a fish going, hey, try to do that to me. No, please don't. Please don't, Dave. I remember I said that to you, and I said that something like that to him, and he said, don't bet on it. I said, you can't offend me, or something, I think it was. And he says, don't bet on it. I was like, man, I better not say that again. Just take that back over there. I never said that. Romans 8, look over there. Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. He says, can tribulation separate you from the love of Christ? No, none of that can. We are more than conquerors through Him, the Bible says. Look at Romans 12. Romans 12:12. The Bible says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, giving the hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. You ever do that? You bless people that curse you? We want to curse them, don't we? It says bless them. I don't mean just go up there like a Southerner and go, bless you. Bless you. You know. No. If we could just live like the Bible says, we'd be a whole lot happier people. But look, three times now, look at tribulation. It's got nothing to do with a period of time. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Remember, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 is the God of all comfort. It's the chapter of comfort. I love this chapter because it says we go through things so we'll learn how to comfort others which go through the same things we go through. 2 Corinthians 1:4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know why God comforts you? So you can comfort others. What does He comfort you in? Our tribulation. That's why, you know, I can't believe that they had to come up, and they did it because of Matthew 24 and Revelation 7. They said it's the tribulation and the great tribulation. And then we're gonna miss the tribulation and great tribulation, and people say, oh, that means we're not gonna have any problems in our life. Read your Bible. The Bible says you live godly. All those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? So why don't you have any persecution in your life? The only reason you wouldn't have persecution in your life is because you're not living right. Or you've had so much of it that it's water off a duck's back. You can get to that point where, listen, it doesn't bother you. Listen, that's where we need to be. Let's look at another verse. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul's testimony. Verse 4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. He says, I'm exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. How can he say that? Because it's true. Because Paul had been stoned by stones being thrown at him. He had, you know, just look at what he went through. People hated him. Man, he was at the top of his game as a Jew, killing Christians, had all that knowledge of the law. Then he lost it all. But he had Jesus. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 13, wherefore, Ephesians 3:13, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. So quit calling it. Now listen, you can call it tribulation period. I'm okay with that. Just understand that that is a misnomer because it misleads people. It is Daniel's 70th week. Here's Daniel's 70th week that I'll just tell you in brief. There are 70 weeks determined in Daniel. 70 weeks of years, which is 490 years. 70 times 7 is 490. A week is 7 days. So a week is 7. 7 times 70. 7 times 70 is 490. 483 of them have already passed. You can look through. He had judged Israel for those 483 years. And there's 1 week of years left. That's Daniel's 70th week yet to come. That's it. That's as simple as I can make it. Look at another one. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. We should suffer tribulation. Look at 2 Thessalonians 1, 4. So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. That's what he said. Tribulations, it's a way of life for a Christian. Persecution, it's a way of life for a Christian. We are not believing in the rapture to escape the problems that are going to come upon the church. It isn't going to happen. I've told you already, I love the Constitution. The Constitution's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. The Constitution only works with the people that are godly. It was said about it. This country, as a republic, cannot exist with an ungodly populace. You want proof? Okay. Watch the news. That's it. You want to know what's going on? You have people that want to defund the police and get rid of the police. You do know where that happened before, right? The gray shirts in Nazi Germany. Defund the police, get rid of the police, the brown shirts. I said gray, brown shirts. What they did was they got rid of the police departments. And they came in and they were thugs. And that's how Hitler gained control. History repeats itself. And if you don't know history, you're condemned to repeat it. And this is being designed by those that want to destroy this country. It is a fact. It is not a conspiracy theory. It was a conspiracy theory 10 years ago. Now it's so obvious it's not a conspiracy theory. It is a fact. So what do? Put your head in the sand, act like an ostrich. Look for Jesus. Say, well, and I'll say this, turn off your news once you learn where we are. Once you've done it and you go, oh, I know, just turn the thing off. Because all it is designed for one of two things, give you a false sense of security, thinking that some of that group is really good and watching out for you. Not like Republicans and Democrats. It's like the Supreme Court. Let's just get a president in there that'll appoint conservative judges on the Supreme Court, and then we can overturn Roe versus Wade. Not going to happen. And I'd love to see it happen. And I'd love to see the fact of what we just had happen with a 6-3 vote not happen, but it did. Why? Because there are people that are making these things happen. And you need to understand it, but you need to stay encouraged. Don't get discouraged. If you get discouraged, come to church. Turn off your television. It's not turn on more television and skip church. You say, well, I don't like your message. I don't like my message. You're going to suffer persecution. You're going to suffer tribulation. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience. You know what you and I need? More experience. Well, wait a minute. Didn't you just say that comes from tribulations? I don't want more experience. Yeah, you really do. I am who I am today because of the experiences that I've gone through. And they've not all been fun. But that's life. That's life. Can God trust you with persecution and tribulation? We'll see. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. And we could go into Paul's testimony and all that. But I tell you, I want to close on these two passages instead. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. And then we'll look at Titus chapter 2. And we'll close. Here is why. I tell you what. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Well, we know that the heavens pass away at the end of 1,000 years. So how long is the day of the Lord? It's 1,000 years. In the which. the heavens shall pass. So the day of the Lord is 1,000 years. I just defined it for you. You realize that most prophecy teachers don't even know that the day of the Lord is 1,000 years? The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's the end of the millennium. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Because you know it's all going to be burned up, what type of person ought you to be? You ought to be godly. Listen, you know what I want to do as I see things going downhill? I want to do more for God, not less. I want to draw closer to God, not pull back and keep anything in reserve. We don't need reserve. We need to put it all out there right now. We need to stand up and say, we're going to draw the line and we're not going to compromise, and we're not going to just put our head in the sand and say, well, you know what, will be. No, we're going to fight in the right way. And I can't even define that for you. We'll just have to wait and see and pray a lot. Biggest thing you can do right now, pray. That Supreme Court decision was as big as the decision on sodomite marriages. That one that just came out 2 days ago, 6-3 vote, says that sex is, it includes LGBTQ. Therefore, now the law of the land is they are a protected minority. Titus chapter 2, and we're finished for tonight. Verse 11. The Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That's why I'm not a Calvinist. The grace of God's appeared to all men, but it's only upon all them that believe. That's what Romans 3 says. It's unto all, but only upon all them that believe. Here's what the grace of God that hath appeared to all men does. It teaches you. It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What world's he talking about? The one that's present right here, right now. What about the one in a month when it gets worse? That present world, live godly. Looking for what? That blessed hope which is the return of Jesus Christ. That blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, and look at it, zealous of good works. You know what looking for Jesus will do for you? It'll make you zealous of good works. When I wake up in the morning and I think about Jesus coming back today, it affects me. When I'm going through my day and I get tired and I get worn, today I was worn out. I had something on my plate early this morning that I finished at 6:15 that only took 20 minutes to accomplish. Maybe 40 minutes overall, because I did get 20 minutes done and I had 20 more minutes. That's how long it took before I had 20 minutes at the end of the day, just because everything's going on. There's a lot going on. And you don't really know what goes on up here, but I have a guy come in. We had the front door unlocked. He comes walking right in. I had met him. He calls me the preacher man or something like that. I had met him. I said, listen, I said, we believe in helping people out. And so he came in. He wanted to ride over to Shalimar, to Valparaiso, to a home. And so I took him over there. And I was like, man, I don't have the time. I'm just trying to get some stuff done. I had to study and everything else. But you know what? I told the guy I loved him before. You know, this was 2 weeks ago when he was sitting out here in the corner. And then what am I going to say? Well, I don't love you enough to take out 20 minutes and drive you over there. By the way, you know what? I did not want to take him over there. I want you to know that. But you know what I did? I took them over. Oh, by the way, here's another one for you. You know, I didn't want to give... I haven't eaten expensive peaches. You remember that story? I said, man, we had a peach that was going bad and it was starting... It was, you know, because they don't put any stuff... They don't spray them. I told my wife, I told them, you guys need to eat those peaches. They're expensive. I ate me a peach today. I was like, I'm going to eat these peaches. $40. I didn't want to give that woman that extra $20. But I did because I was supposed to. For testimony's sake. I got to quit telling people I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor of the church. Oh, shut up, Doug. Now you have to do right. You have to do more than right. By the way, if you tell somebody you're from this church, right. Do right.
Yes, sir.
And even if you don't, you're a Christian, do right. Okay. We need to close. Robert said he needed a few minutes. I think it has something to do with my first year anniversary, just so you know. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get the missionaries, any visitors out, and I will be out also. Lord, we do thank you for many blessings. Just pray, Lord, that you would guide, lead, and direct us. Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to see you in all things. And Lord, we just love you and praise you and give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.